You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Good. Yontif, whatever it is, whatever time of day you're listening, welcome to the Man Dog Pod. Big check-in. I'm Dan Lippert, and I'm checking in with my good friend Ryan Rosenberg.
That's right. Hello, Dan. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's early morning, and I think I'm still fighting off a little bit of the tireds, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
And not early. It's 11:30.
It's early for Saturday.
That's exactly right. And for having a busy week.
And a busy week. Mm-hmm. You earned being tired on a Saturday morning.
That makes it feel so much better.
Isn't that really nice?
Yes, yes, it is. It is.
And now day six of the 7-day work week. It's Memorial Day weekend.
That's right.
You're listening to this on Memorial Day, or you have had a Memorial Day and you're listening to it after.
Right.
Now, Ryan, we'll probably spend our Memorial Day together. So there's this show on NPR called Left, Right, and Center. And it's like, there's like two people, a liberal, a conservative, and then someone in the middle. Mm-hmm. And the host was like, at the end of the show, everyone gets a soapbox, 30 seconds to talk about whatever they want. The host was like, everyone calls me a contrarian, but I think I say a lot of things that actually end up being like what society believes. And my opinion, my soapbox today is grilling is not good. Your grill's dirty. You spend most of your time cooking inside, so obviously you like it better. And it was just one of those things that I was like, you know, you're leaving out the thing about grilling, which is you're getting to hang out outside in the sun with your friends,
right.
Have a beer. It's social. You're making a ton of food at once. It made me so unreasonably upset.
How funny. What made you upset? Just like that
this idea of like, people say I'm a contrarian, but here's an opinion that I'm sure you all agree with. Right. And I really don't like the debate tactic that's like willfully ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, no one's grilling because they're like a head chef that is like, the grill is a better stovetop than the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You grill because it's fun.
Yeah. And also it does taste delicious. Every kitchen has a grill. You know what
you're
I mean?
Right.
Like every kitchen literally is grilling your food. I hope you know that. Like some things are sauteed, some things are grilled. It's not a. It's apples and oranges, I guess. It's a crazy stance, 100%.
It's
especially
a crazy stance.
And were they saying this in regards to Memorial Day?
Yes, exactly.
What an you're just being annoying. Like,
yeah.
I wonder if part of that is that they have to assume what the other side is talking about and then start with a rebuttal of it. But
right.
It's not a rebuttal. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not a rebuttal because I said it first.
Right.
But I'm doing it as a prod, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Thank God I know this. You're not invited to the grill.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
We'll both be happier, I guess, because you're not coming over to give me your little opinions.
Right. Oh, some people.
But you and I,
yeah.
We're grill daddies, Ryan.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it like the stereotype of every stupid man.
Mm-hmm.
But no offense, it makes sense. It harkens back to our ancestors and cooking over fire and all the bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There is literal magic to it. Like, it's like, yeah, yeah.
And how good does it feel? How good does it feel to serve food to your friends?
It's wonderful. Like,
and break bread and like have them be like, wow, this is so good. And it's like, yeah.
I prefer a party where all my friends are outside and I'm alone in the kitchen. And then I bring them the food.
We got to kill this guy.
Yeah. He was the centrist or the...
Yeah, yeah. He's the host. So he's always represents the center.
Which is like, why? Like, what do you mean I represent the center? Like... I just don't know what that means. That seems like such a selfish point of view.
To be in the middle?
To be like, well, actually, I can never be wrong because I'm just
right.
in the middle of all the wrong people.
Right.
I'm just here observing everybody else, but I can't be observed because I am the universal neutral. It's like, no,
yeah.
You're not. There isn't that, you know? It's such a strange thing.
I think centrist has become a word for like, I'm not young and liberal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm actually kind of conservative, but I'm not super crazy.
Right.
But I'm not young and liberal, so I'm in the middle. And it's like,
right.
Yeah, I think you might be a little more conservative than you think.
Right. And I don't fully disagree with, like, listening to both sides and informing yourself that way and then making a decision. But to be like, I never choose an opinion is just not true, you know?
Well, this, I think, like, the there's, like, a fundamental brokenness in general discourse. But, like, debate, becoming a lawyer, that type of stuff is... all you're learning is how to trick people.
Mm-hmm.
You're not learning how to, like, care or make things better.
Mm.
You're learning how to, like, trick people the best.
Interesting.
Like, that's what politics is. That's what law is. It's like, you just go in and you go, like, this is the reality, and anyone that says anything different is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how everyone's arguing. And it's like, all right, well, good luck to us all.
Well, the world probably does need, like, some sort of mediating force, right? If those two sides are unable to talk to each other, there does need to be someone who, like, can be the mediator, maybe? Like, I can see that. But yeah.
There's something even, like, gross to me about, like, learning debate in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Like, this idea of, like, you're learning to argue is weird to me. Like, you're not learning to be, like... And I guess you could say that, like, well, you're learning both sides. You know all the information so that then you can just...
Right.
You're becoming incredibly educated.
Right. Yeah, you're learning how to, like, present your ideas clearly and understand other ideas clearly and, like, speak to them. I think that's good. But, yes, the inherent, like, every conversation is a disagreement. It doesn't have to be the truth.
Yeah. And I think this is as someone who used to take value in being a good arguer.
100%.
I used to, like, love debates and getting into little fights and whatever.
I really used to pride myself on my, like, logical skills. And then it was like, oh, that means having no emotions.
Yeah.
And telling other people to, like, quiet down. You know what I mean? It's very, like, dismissive.
Absolutely. I've never liked someone because they were better than me at anything. Or because they proved me wrong.
Right.
So it's like...
Wow, we jumped into a fervent one. Really struck a nerve.
But ultimately, once again, we're grill daddies.
We're grill daddies. We're daddies who love to grill. What are you thinking of grilling this week?
I'd love to do smash burgers on the griddle. I still haven't perfected the smash burger. I think you have to get the griddle to a very high temperature.
Mm-hmm. Are you putting on chapstick right now?
Putting on chappy, yeah. My lips got a little chappy.
That's okay.
I was actually on camera.
Chappy, chappy. That's all right. You only be on camera to the real diehards. You know what I mean?
That's right. Oh, this is all the... Oh, no, yeah, I guess, yeah. Some people could still be listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I haven't perfected the griddle top smash burger because you need the high heat. You need the oil to get pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty quick cook, and you need it pretty flat. I'm used to making my burgers a little thick, Daddy.
Jumpy.
So you need the burger to get pretty flat.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to test it. Excited to maybe give you a run on it and see if you wanted to make some and how they turn out.
I'd be happy to do a side-by-side test. You know, turn the grill up to whichever, you know, we each take one knob of the, you know, half of the grill, and we just see what we do.
And I think 'tis the season. It'll be the first time, because my brother got me this Blackstone for my birthday. Thank you, Ben.
Blackstone flat-top grill.
It's like a
griddle, right?
Rather than a
grill with, like, slats where stuff can fall through. It's just one big piece of metal.
One big piece of metal getting heated evenly, ideally. And then consistent heat.
Unless you don't want that. Unless you want a hot zone and a cool zone, something like that.
Which you could do.
Does that work? Or is it too conductive?
Yeah, I haven't done a big enough meal that I would need both. Mm-hmm. But I have definitely burnt some bacon while I was doing an all hot zone.
Right. I feel like the trick must... I don't know. This is fully a noob sort of hypothesizing. But I feel like the trick is to turn one side really hot and the other side, like, maybe on, but low, because some of that heat's going to transfer to the cold side anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can, like, if stuff's getting too hot, you can slide it over and give it a little bit of a rest. You know what I mean?
That's smart. That's smart.
Well, I used to work at a barbecue restaurant. Shout out to the Naples Rib Company. Most delicious ribs in Long Beach, other than Johnny Reb's, which is probably a little bit more authentic and better. But it was a delicious, delicious barbecue place, and they would grill stuff, and they talked about, like, different zones on the grill. And part of it was intentional, but part of it was just, like, where the flames are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that they, like, had the hot zone when stuff really needed to go, but then they needed a zone that was, like, okay, I need to, like, I'm too busy and I need to let stuff rest for a second.
Yeah.
And that was interesting.
These like mashed potatoes just need to sit here.
Yes. Yes. And you just can't do everything at 100 all the time.
No.
It's a good lesson in like, oh, my input changes the food, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But I miss that restaurant. I miss working there. Loved all those guys. We would drink after work, which is not the number one thing I should like about it, but it was like a cool family-owned place where like they'll serve you a beer at the end of your shift.
Yeah.
You know, not like a corporate, like, whatever.
Oh, a little crack of beer or a fresh off the tap after an 8-hour, 6-hour shift. Mm-hmm. You're tired, you're worn out. Mm-hmm. And then there's like that endorphin rush of that sip, mm-hmm. that first sip.
Right. I think that's the beauty of a local business is they don't have to like share all their money all the way up the chain. Mm-hmm. So they can afford to give you a beer. You know what I mm-hmm. mean? Like at Carl Strauss or whatever, they got to pay all the employees, the managers of that Carl Strauss, but then they got to send the rest of the money to Carl Strauss or whatever.
Right.
So there's no room for like employee benefits kind of, you know, or like under the table benefits, I guess. Everything has to be like calculated.
Well, yeah, we got that shift beer and then the rest of it had to, you know, you had to sneak it out of the pocket of Carl, of the Godfather beer right. himself.
You're like, thanks for the 50% discount at the food place that I work at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know what the food costs. You charge $2.95 for a third of an avocado. Like,
yeah.
You can just give me one.
I'll take some fried chicken wings.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's okay. Or nachos.
And there is nothing better than the guy at the restaurant who is like with the crew rather than with the company. Mm-hmm. Like when I worked at Cheesecake Factory, this guy, like at the end of our meal, we would get 50% off. I think you get a free meal depending on what you order, or maybe it was 50% off, but some stuff you have to pay full price for. Like if I wanted the chicken tacos, which I would get often at Cheesecake Factory, surprised, right? Big surprise.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a good order for after a shift because it's not like 2,000 calories.
Exactly. And you can like eat all of it or not all of it. You know, if I have a burger, I'm finishing the burger because it's like one piece, you know? Mm-hmm. But there was a dude there who was like, you want a steak tonight? Like, what? Who cares? What do you want? I'll make it for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, they're not counting every single steak. Surely they are. But like, yeah, every once in a while we can like say, you guys are fine. Let's take mm-hmm. care of the staff, you know?
Well, I think I've never owned a business, so, you know, business owners would come down hard on me here. But I really, truly believe that the money you save by people being excited to work for you, caring mm-hmm. somewhat about your business, right. and feeling like taken care of and human and considered makes up for the money you lose by giving someone an extra steak.
Yeah, they're going to be better at their job, which creates more revenue and all that stuff. Efficiency and whatever. And whatever, you know? That's how I feel.
Efficiency? And don't forget whatever.
Don't forget the whatever, man.
But you got to take care of everyone.
You do.
I just think you just got to treat them like people.
And Memorial Day is, of course, the big kickoff of summer, I feel like. It's the official.
It is.
I know we've been talking about sort of the unrolling of being back out and COVID sort of hopefully ending for a lot of us here, or at least feeling a lot safer than we have been. It just couldn't have been at a more opportune time. Memorial Day, summer, just feeling free and good. And I want to go back outside more anyway, you know, outside mm-hmm. of COVID. It's just seasonally worked out perfect.
Yeah. If everything had ended in like mid-December, I'd be like, oh, cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
cool, but also cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Again, this is a little foreshadowing, but we do have a podcast coming out later on with Gabrus all about summer. Mm-hmm. But in it, we kind of, you and I think, realized we got to hit the beach as much as possible. And this week, we both had a separate beach trip. So we are enacting mm-hmm. our promise to ourselves.
That's right. I went on Monday, sent you guys a pic because we were talking about it, and you know, Pixar didn't happen, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went Tuesday, which made me so happy.
Yeah, it's we'll have onlyfans.com/thebeachboys, mm-hmm. and me, Ryan, and Gabrus are
we would make so much money making chubby porn for regular people.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's not porn, it's more tasteful nudes at the beach.
chubby good time photos. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Part of what's exciting is, oh man, not only are they nude, but looks like they're having a nice day.
I really want this for them. I'm going to support that.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you know, living vicariously through your buddies.
Yes. I really believe that once that one beach day made my whole week a little better.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
I do believe that.
It really resets your whole, like, oh yeah, like so many more things are possible. Mm-hmm. Than I let myself believe on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Being aware that this is like a privileged position to be in, I am really hoping that I am never going back to like, oh, I have 4 hours free. I guess I have to be around my phone mm-hmm. or make sure I can respond to emails. Like, I really hope I can keep that attitude of like, oh, my morning's free. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Was yours impromptu or planned?
Planned.
Yeah, how far in advance?
Not super far. Just like I know I have to go this. I want to go this week. This is the day that I have mm-hmm. no commitments. So mm-hmm. I'm just gonna like make sure not to make any new commitments.
Right, right. It's beautiful. Beautiful to it's be able beautiful. To put that time towards yourself.
Yeah. And well, it'll be a lot easier next time because I, you know, Gabrus was like, Will Rogers is great, easy to get to, whatever, good parking lot.
Spoiler for that podcast. You got to check out High and Mighty with the boys on Gabrus's podcast. You'll hear the in-depth stuff that we're just hinting at now. You're welcome, Gabrus.
And this is why you support the Patreon, is you get that, you get a free preview a little bit.
That's right. You get a little bit of behind the curtain, if you will.
And I heard, when he said Will Rogers, I just remembered it as like, an old LA actor. So I went to Leo Carrillo, which is like an hour further away, probably.
Is it really?
Probably, only because you're going, let's get into the California weeds, but you're going like north, then through the mountains of Malibu mm-hmm. into Malibu mm-hmm. instead of just like straight west.
Is Will Rogers like the first beach north of Santa Monica, kind of? Like,
I think
like
so,
right
yeah.
when you turn into like whatever, turns from LA County to Malibu or something?
I think so. Is that where you went? Where did you go?
I went to Manhattan Beach. So we went a little south, which I really loved. I grew up going there, going to like Manhattan and Hermosa. Every year we would do like a week vacation with my dad in Southern California, and all of his friends sort of live in the South Bay and there. So Manhattan Beach has a lot of like nostalgia and is like what I envision when I think of like loving the beach, you know, that mm-hmm. it's like, it's kind of like Baywatch, where like mm-hmm. there's just thousands of people on the sand and umbrellas, and it's just like Southern California living, you know? And like you walk just up and there's like main streets with tons of restaurants and little beach shops and markets. And it's definitely like what I was used to and what I kind of like. Now I love the Malibu vibe where it's like quiet and there's nobody there and you have to drive aways. But it really is like once you're at the beach, you're kind of there. You know, like mm-hmm. in Manhattan, you can like pop up and grab a sandwich and walk back down and then go get a drink and come back down. And it's like, still it's a do, but you don't have to get in the car, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
But both are great. I mean, anytime you're out there listening to the old waves, what a metaphor.
This is a great metaphor for mm-hmm. just being connected.
Just
and
peaceful.
How are you in the world of the big check-in? What are your feelings about like how you are living your life as things open up, because mm-hmm. we had a million conversations on this show of like, what are we going to do? How are things different?
Right.
How are we fundamentally changed? Do you feel like you are taking some of those feelings and applying them?
I'm definitely doing a lot of stuff that I want to do rather than defensively being like, what's available to me? I feel like I'm like making my own life a little more rather than mm-hmm. like, what am I allowed? It's like, what can I try? So that feels really good. But it definitely feels like I ripped off the Band-Aid a little too quickly and I'm having trouble with just the shock of like going out and eating. I'm just eating like crazy now that I can like go in public and go see friends and stuff. Just realizing how much food is like tied into those social situations. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that is not healthy for me. I've just been gaining weight and it feels a little out of control a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was doing so well when, not at everything, but like when I was sort of in the house, just sort of doing well with some of those things of like self-discipline and self-care. And now I'm just like, oh, you want to hang out? Absolutely. Should we order pizza? Yes. And I'm like, running myself a little thin, you know, I'm like mm-hmm. saying yes in a great way to a lot of stuff, but it is making me kind of exhausted and shocked from what the last year has been.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great. But I'm just fucking tired. Like,
yeah,
I'm just been tired, and I need like a day or two to catch up on like nothingness, you know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that tired that is like you feel like you're on a hamster wheel a little bit.
Yes,
is very like I don't even know what chaotic. It's not fun. It's mm-hmm. not a good type of tired.
It's just overwhelming. It's just like I have to keep going, but there is no sort of control or end in sight. Like the wheel is going to spin if I take one step forward, and then I'm going to almost fall. So I have to keep running.
Yeah.
And then it's like the running only makes the wheel go faster, and you're like, oh, I got to keep up. And it's like, just hop off the wheel, my man. Mm-hmm. Just take a left. Just take mm-hmm. a left instead of running straight.
Nobody put you on this wheel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's all good stuff. And I just got to do a little bit better with my boundaries of like, what I'm able to do, I think.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all good stuff. And just, I need a little self-care, I think.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about how to plan our lives a little better and how to be a little more mindful about it. And somebody suggested on our Patreon, I believe, or maybe on Twitter, bullet mm-hmm. journaling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at it. I'm in the pre-steps of organizing my life. Where I was like, is this a whole thing, bullet journal? Like, what is it exactly? And it looks like it's just you journal, but you use either a circle, a line, or a bullet. Like,
it's just a different kind of like planner or whatever, you know, and a different way to look at it, and like makes your life sort of like line item-y rather than across the week. And I fooled with it a little bit during pandemic, and I bought like the whatever that was. I bought a bullet journal and used it for a couple weeks and then was like, my problem is sticking with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, I can do bullet journaling, but now I have to like commit to bullet journaling, you know? Mm-hmm. And the difficult thing is that I keep sort of switching calendars and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to put together a collage of the first three pages of all my calendars over the past 15 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just starting to realize that it's not the external thing that needs changing. It's not that I don't have a good enough book to write things in.
Right.
It's that I need to focus on like my own stuff in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's the internal, not the external for me, I think, is what I'm waking up to.
When I'm doing that stuff, I feel like pretty, like the hardest feeling that helps me get in control of is that my whole life is up here and I'm constantly like, just like catching mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. lightning bugs as they're flying by. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, this is the one thing I need to do. Oh, this mm-hmm. is the email I need to send. Like,
right. Writing things like slows them down and makes them feel a little more permanent and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can, this page can give me structure and a little bit of peace where my mind just always wants to like fill it with the next thing. I totally agree with
that. When I look at it, I'll be like, oh, I was overwhelmed because I have a podcast and I'm seeing a movie today.
Right.
Like, that's okay. I can do those things.
Right. This is something else. It's a heart or a head thing, you know, not a, I totally agree. How are you feeling with sort of being back out or whatever that stuff is?
Pretty great. Obviously, I am forgiving of this, but aware that like another year has gone by where I was like, this summer is the Beachbody summer. And it's like, I didn't do any of the work that went into that.
What is even the point of that fantasy, though? You know what I mean? The fantasy that you're going to be buff at the beach, like, and then what? Someone's going to fuck you at the beach? Like,
I think it's, for me, it's just like comfort. It's just like that little feeling of like, shirts off and I don't care.
Right.
And like, that's a nice feeling to have. Mm-hmm. And it's also like tied into everything else that means. It means I've been like taking care of myself, eating healthy, all that stuff.
Right.
So I think that hopefully those things will come now that I am kind of like, because I am trying to kind of get my stuff organized and figure out those boundaries, but I have been saying also yes to everything, and so far it hasn't been like breaking me down yet, and exhausting me, but I could see it doing that. But it's like, yeah, I've been saying yes to the podcasts. I've been saying yes to the
Yeah, you've had a big, busy week since you and social stuff. You've had people come over to your house to watch b-ball, and those are all good, relaxing things, but they do take up, like, time, energy, and space in your week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They definitely do.
But at least in the moment, I am, like, so – I was, like, so starved for, like, the people I like in my life that it's, like, I if I can take the time either while we're hanging out or, like, right afterwards to be, like, man, this is so cool that I get to do this.
Right.
I spent at least a little bit of every day of the whole year being like, I can't believe I can't get to hang out with my friends.
Right.
So I'm. It's like, it's giving me a little bit of life and a little bit of energy at the moment.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah. But yeah, there's also like, I think the lucky step we haven't taken yet is like live performance hasn't opened, because like once the opportunity to say yes to live shows is coming up 5 days a week, that'll add like another thing to my life that'll have
to
figure
out. It's
gonna
be so hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And 'cause now it was easier when we were younger and like didn't need to make as much money and we're happy with whatever, to just like not work a ton in the day, perform at night and be like, I'm building towards the future.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am in the future where it's like, well, I got to still have the job and I can't work every day and do a show every night.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too exhausting. You know, like I have to sort of pick what are the things that really matter to me and make space for those. I just know I can't do it all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because then I'm going to kind of dislike all of them.
Yes, and like feel burnt out and resentful towards the things that I love. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I am. A thing that is like really interesting to me that I'm trying to figure out is like, because of this year where it became very uncertain times, you know, there's this like pull of. One thing that like this year taught me was like, I'm so happy that I lived for the day pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went on the trips I wanted to go on. Like the stuff I missed was like, I went on the trips I wanted to go on. I ate at the places I wanted to eat. I hung out with the people I liked. I like enjoyed my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did enjoyable things instead of like saying no to things so that my future would be better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I can't spend money on that trip. I can't, whatever, because I want to buy a house. I want to whatever.
Totally.
The other end of that is like, in 10 years, am I going to be like, oh, I wish I could afford a house right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting push and pull of like wanting all of those things to, those things are competing in my mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, I was really happy I didn't just spend my whole life like, you know.
Yeah, planning.
Planning, right. Especially because it's like, who knows what's going to be happening in 10 years.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely, it shouldn't be like 0 or 100 probably, right? It shouldn't be like, it's only about the moment and I will not have a future. And it shouldn't also be like, I only have a future and I am only working for that. It's
right.
Like, how can I do what I want to do in the moment and also put a little bit aside? You know, like, do I need to eat everything on my plate right now? I can save some of this for tomorrow. Like, and that's something I have difficulty doing is like, I sort of jump from lily pad to lily pad rather than like existing in the same space for a while, if that makes sense as a metaphor, you know?
But what's interesting is, I think we spend a lot of time on this, and I spend a lot of time in my life, kind of like, there is like a little bit of like, how can I change? What am I judgmental of my choices? Like, you know, what, and I think like a thing that I'm grateful for is like, we don't know a lot of people who like live off of their two-person podcast.
Absolutely.
And that's like, that's a thing that we had to work hard to start and continue to have to work hard to do, even though like, I think we lean into the leisure of our lives. Like, it's a job. It's hard to book. It's hard to record. It's hard to, you know.
Yeah, we started two businesses in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know,
it
feels casual, but it's also fucking work. And like, now you have those things to stand on, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. I think we are doing those things of planning towards the future already. You know, for me, it's not like a judgment of how I've been, but just more of like an awareness of where I would like to go, you know?
Right.
It's like the awareness of how I've been, the awareness of how I feel, and then the awareness of where I would like to go. And I think holding all three of those at the same time is like valuable, you know? But who knows? I mean, it's also just not, yeah, it's not about judging or punishing yourself no matter what. That to me is the important thing, is like to not be like, I've been doing everything so wrong. Like, no, it's okay. You're not bad. It's just what you needed at the time. And you can choose to do more of that, or you can choose to change it or whatever.
Yeah. And I think like sometimes like the energy of how I talk is like focused a lot on like the future, the change, the whatever. And there's rarely focus either because it's embarrassing or who wants to listen to it or whatever, that is like, this is cool. This is great. I'm really happy we did this. I'm happy we continue to do it. And it was not easy. And
yes,
it's not a given.
Right.
It's not a given that this exists. Sometimes I feel like it's a given. And it's like, oh, we built an audience and we continue to and all that shit. It's nice.
So thanks to that audience for being here with us. We really appreciate it. And I hope you still like this.
I don't know. Me too.
Yeah.
I saw A Quiet Place last night.
My
first in theater.
Is that the new one?
Theater. The new one, yeah.
Cool. I didn't realize that was out.
Yeah, it came out last night.
Cool.
It's interesting to go to the theater because it's kind of set up in a way that's like, I like a full theater. It's kind of fun, but it's also kind of nice that every other row is empty for protocols and the two seats next to you have to be empty.
Right.
So you know you're not going to be like stuffed next to somebody.
Right.
It's like, oh, this could be nice.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Nice. Where'd you go?
The Regal downtown, the LA Live. Because the other thing with the way that theaters are is almost every showing, you could sell like 30 tickets.
Right.
So like most of the city was sold out, or you had to be in the front row.
Because it was like a premiere-y type thing.
Yeah, yeah. First Friday night. First like kind of, no offense to a lot of other movies that have come out in theaters, but first like good summery blockbuster movie, I think, in theaters.
Yes, first movie that you would have been excited about, not just because it's pandemic, just because like, makes you feel like it used to feel to go to the movies.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's like an opening sequence. Not to spoil anything, but like go ahead.
Turn it off now if you don't want to spoil it.
The opening sequence is in the trailer, but it's before the first movie.
Right.
And so there was interesting. And then the rest of the movie is after the first movie. But there's this weird moment where in the opening sequence, shit's going down, and the parents are like in the face of certain, like horror, comforting their kids and being like, it's gonna be okay. And like that like hit a trauma wound for me of like the past year of this thing like we all had to do is like see the reality, but all parents across the country had to like tell their kids it was gonna be all right and kids had to like process this thing that nobody should have to. But it was interesting watching like a apocalypse kind of trauma movie like that and how it like brought up these feelings that I didn't realize I like had somewhere.
That's interesting. Interesting. Yeah. And did you enjoy it? Was it a good movie?
I did. It was very stressful. It was very fun to watch in theaters.
So nice to just like, I think I didn't used to see the value of like horror movies in that way, but I really feel it now of like, oh, it's cool to be able to go for 2 hours and totally put your brain on this thing that is like stressful, but then you leave the movie and you're like, ah, the stress is over. And I didn't think about other stuff for the last 2 hours. You know, it's just such a great, not time waster, but like you're kind of like in the moment, like really gripped, you know?
Yeah. It makes you like feel all these feelings that, I don't know, 10,000 years ago and we cooked meat and whatever that we caught. You had to feel scared and whatever. And like we have all that stuff that you have to feel, but we just don't on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Because it's inside of us, but we don't want to spend time with it. So it's nice to be able to spend time with it in a safe fantasy environment rather than, totally.
Big recommendation if you can handle a stressful movie, if you saw the first one and liked it.
I love the first one. I thought it was so cool. And I was so surprised how good it was, too.
Me too.
You know? It's funny when, because they're husband and wife, right? Krasinski and Emily Blunt. Yeah. And it's funny how often, like, couples work together in, like, Hollywood. It's like, well, we live together. We should write together or whatever. But that I was so surprised how good that movie was. Because no offense to Krasinski, I just didn't see it. I didn't see him be, because he directed it or no?
Yeah.
Wow. And you know what I mean? Like he's Jim from The Office. Like what? It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, again, no offense, but I left it being like, I wonder how much the DP was in, you know, or like, I'm constantly looking for like, who made this good? Because it's technically like a very cool sound movie. Like,
surely he had something to do with it. I mean, if it's his idea and whatever, it's like, yeah, I really used to have this feeling of like, I have to see who's bad or who, I have to catch everybody who's not actually, doesn't deserve. And it's like, what was I doing? Like, this guy made a great movie, end of story. You know what I mean? Like, why are you trying to be like, well, maybe it wasn't actually that good. Didn't you just enjoy it? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Why do
actually,
you
I didn't
like
enjoy it?
It
that much. Yeah.
Yeah, this was like a barbecue. You know, we actually hate movies that are fun.
Yes. I think for me, it won't speak for everybody else, but for me, it's like this feeling of like never wanting to feel tricked, never wanting to feel like I don't get it or like something went by and I missed it. Like, so I thought I was always being like judicious, but really I like had a very negative view of the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, right. Yes. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's interesting. There must be something, or maybe this is just the lens that I see everything through, but there's something in there about control where it's like, no, I know how things work.
Right.
I think for me, it's a little bit, there's probably like a jealousy in there. It's like, wait, you could be the doofus on this show and you can also direct a huge horror movie. Like,
well, if it's someone else's fault and it didn't actually work out that way, then I have an excuse for why I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, well, I'm not capable of that. And neither is he. He just got that lucky thing. And it's like, or is this guy obviously working really fucking hard? Right. Like, how many things have you seen him in? He had to do 12-hour days on all of that shit.
Yeah.
Do I ever do 12-hour days? Do I ever submit scripts? Like, it's a lot easier to point at somebody else's like, nah, you didn't actually, than to just like look at yourself and be like, you didn't actually. You never actually do. Or you know, whatever that thing is. Again, not trying to be too critical, but just waking up to like, what did that serve? Why did I need that so bad? Why did I need to, you know?
So protective. It's like, because you can always... I've been thinking about this a lot with the Paranormal Activity movies. Like, you can spend your whole life being like, I could have played that part. I could have played that part. But then when you're playing it, everyone else is saying that about you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you now prove it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't hide behind it anymore.
Exactly.
So, with that thing where it's like, I could direct a horror movie. Mm-hmm. I could be the lead on The Office. He's not that good. Someone helped him. And it's right. Like, well, let's see.
Yeah, what I would now say to that is like, I bet you could. You should try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no skepticism. You should try that. If you think you can do that, you should try it. That's why that idea came into your head, because you wanted to do it. So you should try it. No skepticism. But I don't want to sit here and argue with you about it.
Yeah.
You should do that.
Go for it.
It's the end of the set. Like, what else are we talking about? If you swear you can do it.
No one's good. My stuff's too weird. My stuff's too smart.
I just don't want to sit around, and this is because I have spent so much time doing this, I don't want to sit around connecting with people over criticism. Mm-hmm. I just have no interest in it anymore. I think because I just did it all. I spent so much time criticizing everybody else, and it's like, okay, I'm sorry that the world is hard, but like, what do I actually want to do or achieve or how do I want to spend my time? I definitely don't want to spend my time sitting around talking with my friends who are all fine about how unfair everything is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, well, then go do something. It's how I feel for me now. But
absolutely.
Well, Dan, it's so great to see you again.
You too.
As always, it's been a real busy ass week for me. And I just felt like I wasn't able to connect much through the course of the week. I was letting texts fly by and all this shit, and like just literally couldn't come up for air to do it. So it's nice to have a little scheduled buddy time.
Thank you. I'm glad we did. And I'm both sorry about your busy week and happy about your busy week.
Yeah, nothing to be sorry about. It was just hard, and hard things are part of it. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, you can do hard things. It's okay. I'm just not used to it.
Yeah.
Like, we set up a thing that is very easy for us, that takes a lot of work, but is how we're most comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
But all the other stuff, I'm like, oh, this isn't me doing the easiest thing. It's like, well, sometimes you got to do the hard thing.
Yeah, hard things, good things take work.
Mm-hmm.
Things you want take work.
Mm-hmm. And work is not, you don't have to view it as bad. It's rewarding, you know? It's an opportunity rather than a sentence, I think.
Well, I was happy for the opportunity to do this, as I always am. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Ryan, for being here. Happy Memorial Day. Happy summer.
Happy summer. We just love all of our listeners and supporters so freaking much. It has made our lives so awesome, better. So we really appreciate every little piece of it.
It is, I believe, probably May 31st, going into June. You know, we've got, if you're on that $5 tier and you're curious going into June, hey, what's going on the other tiers? Mm-hmm. We're just about to throw out our, extra May episode for our, I don't like to say the money amount, mm-hmm. but for our, Big Dog and Boss Hog patrons. Mm-hmm. So if you want to check those tiers out, maybe try it for June, see if you like it. If not, bump yourself back to five. Well, but thanks to all the supporters at all the tiers. We appreciate it.
That's right. We just want to acknowledge everybody for doing what they're doing. So thank you. And you get a little bonus for doing a little bonus, you know?
Bonus for a bonus, baby.
That's right.
Well, have a good one, Ryan.
You too, my man. You have a great one. And everybody out there in podcast listener land, have a wonderful week.
Well said.